When we speak of God as being omniscient, we mean that he's everywhere and there is an all-seeing eye watching all of us, as the song says, which Gene led us in just now. I want to join with Harold in saying we're delighted to have you in the service, and it's good to have Harold and Nona back with us. And I think we can all look forward to Harold getting his slides ready. He took some pictures while he was over there abroad, and one of these days we're going to set up a time and have him to go into detail on that. Now, I'm sure that'll be quite interesting, and we'll be looking forward to it. Remember that Brian will be preaching for us tonight, and let's all come back and hear Brian preach. Brandy told me it was her birthday yesterday. I didn't know that. She told me she was at the astronomical age of 29. Well, we congratulate Brandy. I told Brian in a business meeting, he told us what his age was, I think around 40. I told him when I was 25 years old, I thought someone 40 years old was ready for the grave. But I've adjusted my attitude on that a number of times. It's good to have you present in the service this morning. I want to speak to you for a little while from 2 Timothy 3 on the Bible and inspiration. And I want to read a few verses from our text here from 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Beginning down with verse 15. And that from a child, he says, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He told Timothy that from a child you've known the holy scriptures. Paul told Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, he said, I'm persuaded it's in you. They say the best place to start rearing a child is with its grandmother. Grandmother Lois evidently taught Timothy the Bible. When he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, he's referring, of course, to the Old Testament Scriptures because they didn't have the New. But Timothy learned the Word of God as a young man. And he says the Holy Scriptures, and he does use the adjective hola, he said, are able to make you wise unto salvation. And indeed that's true. And he says through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And notice that word in, and I'll be talking about that from Ace just a little bit later on in connection with faith. And then in verse 16, the very familiar verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration, you know what that means. It means God breathed. It's a compound word, theopneustos. Theos, God, which means God, and pneustos, which means air, like a pneumatic tire. And so what he is saying is that our scriptures are God-breathed, and I believe that. I believe that the Word of God is God-breathed. And when he says all scripture, I believe he included not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, all your Bible is inspired. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 2:13, Paul tells us that even the words are from the Holy Spirit. We call that verbal inspiration. I believe that every word in the Bible is inspired because I believe in verbal inspiration. Sometimes people say, well, inspiration just means the Bible inspires me. Well, it means more than that. When we talk about the inspiration of the Bible, as Paul did here, we're talking about verbal inspiration, and by that we mean that every word, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, is inspired of God. And it's important to study the words of the Bible because just one word can lead people astray if it's not used correctly. I tell people, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was a tree in the midst of the garden. The devil came along and he said exactly the same thing except for one word. He changed it. He said, thou shalt not surely die. Well, someone said, not much different. Well, yeah, a great deal of difference. And that one word makes a difference. And that's why, I guess the reason I'm telling you that is to show you that every word in the Bible is important. Now, most of you have a Bible, and I'm glad you do. I don't know what translation you have, but you understand with that Bible that you have probably in your hand or close near or nearby that was translated from the New Testament from the Greek language and the Old Testament from the Hebrew. The Bible wasn't given in English. In 1611, King James authorized 40 of the ripest scholars in England to translate the Bible from the Hebrew and from the Koine Greek into English. And that old King James Bible, I've used it all of my life, and I still use it. I like it. I don't claim that it's the only translation which is inspired, but I like the old King. Someone said, but thee and thou, said that those were old British cliches. Well, that may be true, but I don't have any problem with those pronouns, thee and thou. Matter of fact, I kind of like them. But I guess the reason I'm saying this is I want you to understand that the Bible you have wasn't written directly by the Holy Spirit into English, that it had to be translated from the Koine Greek. In the days of Paul, there were two Greek languages. One was the classical Greek, and the other was the Koine dialectus, which was the language of the common people. When God selected the language that he wanted the New Testament written in, he selected the Koine Greek. And by the way, the Koine Greek didn't undergo any changes after the first century. And therefore, it's exactly as it was written at that time. And so King James, of course, had a translation. Since that time, there have been a number of other translations. But we don't use the Greek because most of us do not understand that language. And we use our English translation. But my point is, here's my point. I just told you that every word is inspired. That's verbal inspiration. Therefore, if those men translated the Greek into English properly, the English words are also inspired. We didn't do away with inspiration just because the Bible was translated from Greek into English. We still have an inspired Bible, even in English. Although it wasn't originally written in English, it was written either in Hebrew or in Greek. But that's my point. When Paul says here, all scripture is given by inspiration, then he means the book you have. And I believe the book you have and that you use is inspired of God. And you probably have a copy today of your Bible. And I don't know what translation it is. Many people have the King James. Some have the New King James. Some have the Revised Version, the American Standard, or whatever it may be. But I want to tell you, every word of the Bible is inspired, and I told you that words are important. Now, I want to go back to what I talked about a week or two ago, the day of Pentecost. And what I want to do is to talk to you briefly about what Peter said and what he told the people to do to be saved. You remember they said, men and brethren, what must we do? That is after Peter had preached his sermon. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, emphasizing the importance of word, I want to talk about that word for the remission of sins. Someone says, what does that mean? Well, it means unto the remission of sins. It is prospective in nature. It meant they had to do something in order to be saved. and that it pointed to the remission of sins. I think you would know that. And all you'd have to do is have an English Bible, English translation, and I don't think you would have any problem understanding what the Holy Spirit meant by that. These people had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, not everyone agrees with that, because they have theologically, from theology, been taught that baptism's not essential to salvation, and therefore, when they get to that word for, that one word, little word, they say that could mean because of. And they go to the English word for, which sometimes does mean because of. If a man's hanged for murder, it's because of murder. And they say, it's possible that could mean that, and what he told us to be baptized because we're already saved. That is not true. And the word ace, as we refer to it, never has a retrospective meaning, but it always has a prospective meaning, and it points to the future. And in order to teach people the truth, we've got to show them what this word for means, and it's very important because it has been distorted and it has been abused by a lot of people. And therefore, we have to have a word study. I apologize for sometime referring to Greek, because people say, oh, I don't like to hear that. I don't want to hear that because I can't read a Greek New Testament. Well, neither can I explicitly. But at the same time, when a person goes back into that to teach false doctrine, we have one or two choices. One is we can just give up and say, well, he's smarter than we are. He knows the Greek. And if he says the Greek means that it's because of, we can't do anything about it, and he can go ahead and teach people. Or we can jump in with him to show he's distorted the text. Now, which choice do you want? Well, I think we have to take the latter. I don't think we can let a man get by with that. Because if he does, he's going to persuade a lot of people that what we teach about baptism is incorrect. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. And you may not like the Greek, but when a man jumps into that water, and they do. I know what I'm talking about. I know, because I've met too many of them. So we have to study the meaning of ace as it is used in the Bible. Now I'm going to ask the boys upstairs to put my chart up on ace, and I want you to notice something about it, because that's very important. I've got to get my pointer down here, which I knocked off. Let's see. Yes, we've got it here. I want to see that. Yeah, it's pointing. What I want to show you, ladies and gentlemen, on this word ace, it says, Thayer says, a preposition covering or governing the accusative and denoting entrance into or direction of limit into, to, toward, and among. Now, what I want to show you, Thayer's a Greek lexicographer, smart man. He knew the Greek, and he says that the word ace can be translated a number of different ways, and that's very true. Toward, in, into, to, and all. Someone says, but that's confusing, preacher. How did those scholars, if ace can be translated that many ways, how did they knew the Greek language. They knew the Greek language, and they knew how, in a given context, and I'll show you that in just a moment, how that they could translate it, either in, into. For example, everywhere in the Bible that you read of belief, it's always you believe in or on the Lord, never into Him. You can't show me an accepted translation that says you can believe into Christ. I challenge you to do it. Those scholars knew that what is known as pistuo eis ton kuron, which is, I believe in the Lord. I believe on the Lord, but never into Him. Now, I believe that I have here what A.T. Robertson said and what J. Grisham Machen said, who is also a Greek scholar. He says here in his grammar, the verb pistuo followed by eis
and the accusative is to be translated, I believe in or on the Lord. Pistio eston kuron. I believe in or on the Lord. And that's the only way it's translated. And that's important. A word is important because if you could believe into Christ, you could be saved before you're baptized. Because you believe before you're baptized. Do you follow me? And if the Bible somewhere says you believe into Christ, then you're saved before you're baptized. Now, in just plain old English language, you know, when you got out of your car out here on the parking lot, you headed toward this building. You were coming what? Unto the building. Well, did you know ace can be translated unto sometime? It sure can. You were when you came through the door, and I don't know which one you came through, you know, English-wise, you came into this building, right? Someone said, well, yeah, I understand that. And now that you came into the building, what would you say? Well, you say, I'm in the building. Now, is there anything difficult about that? I don't think so. We use it all the time because we speak English. But the word ace connected with faith, and it is connected with faith many times, is never translated into, but in or on, as Mr. The Greek scholar there, Machen, says, and he was a Greek scholar. Now, what I want you to also notice is that A.T. Robertson, who, by the way, is also a Greek scholar, he says that he, from Southern Baptist Seminary, by the way, in Texas, I believe, he says in his grammar, ace itself means only in. The idea of into, if present, comes from the accusative case, extension, and the verb of motion and the context. That's how they knew when to translate it into. And when they came to baptism, what did you have? You've got the accusative case, you've got a verb of motion, and you've got extension, and they translated it into. And I'm going to give you the scripture for that and show you that's the way your Bible reads. You've got a Bible. You can read it. You can read it. Now, what I want to do is to take up some scriptures that translates ace into. And when it's connected with baptism, that's the way it all. Let's go to Romans 6 to begin with. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Ace into. Why did they translate it into there? What did they mean by doing that? How did they come to that conclusion? They knew their Greek. They knew they had the accusative case, a verb of motion, and extension, and therefore they translated it into and not baptized in Christ or baptized on Christ, but into, but you believe in or on Christ, but you're baptized into him. Read your Bible. Read your translation. See if I'm not right about that. And you know what into means. Unto the building, into the building, and then in the building. Well, I'm interested in getting into Christ. And the Bible tells me that I'm baptized into him. Now, isn't that simple? Someone says, you're in a complex, deep water, Brother Hoagland. No, I'm not. I realize I'm having to go into detail on this, but I want to tell you, brother, when you meet these sectarians and they teach false doctrine, you've got to jump into the water with them. And you've got to show the fallacy in what they teach. Now, I've got Romans 3. I want Galatians 3:27. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I want to drop back to that little word for, which is also a conjunction. Notice what he said. Now, you're the children of God by faith, by the system of faith. You're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus for, that's not ace. That's a conjunction called gar, G-A-R, gar. And it means to introduce a causal clause if you look it up. Therefore, what Paul is saying, you are children of God by faith in Jesus. For what reason? Gar, conjunction. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's the reason you're a child of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into ace, into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen,
Again, the Bible says we are baptized into Christ. In Galatians 3. My last scripture, as I have up here, is 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Ace, into one body. What is the body? Well, the Bible says the body is the church. Someone says, you mean I was baptized into the church? That's true. It's the body. You're not only baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the church. The same process and the same law that puts you into Christ puts you also into the church. You don't have to be voted on. People don't have to vote you into the church. You automatically come into the church when you're baptized, because you're baptized into what? Into the body. You have a verb of motion in the accusative case, as the scholars say, as Robertson said. And that's the reason that they have translated baptism into Christ, but you believe in or on the Lord. You're not into Christ when you just believe. You believe in Him, all right. You believe on Him. But you don't believe into Him. It takes baptism to put you into Christ. And I gave the illustration, unto the building, into the building, and in the building. We are now, if you've been baptized, you're in Christ. But why are you in Christ? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He not only says you're baptized into Him, but He says you put Him on in baptism. And of course, that's a spiritual expression. I had a man one time. He said, oh, yes, but he says, Hoagland, I'll tell you, he says, I could have a coat before I put it on, and says, I had Christ before I put Him on, therefore I was saved before I was baptized. That's what he told me. He said, you see, I was saved before, because I had my coat before I put it on. I said, did your coat do you any good before you put it on? I said, let's say a blizzard hits and it drops down to 32 degrees or below, and you're out there shivering and you've got a coat, and you say, thank God I've got a coat. But I said, does it do you any good till you put it on? He said, well, I don't guess it does. Well, I said, Christ's not going to do you good any good till you put Him on either. Not only are we baptized into Christ, but we put Him on in baptism. Now, isn't that simple? I believe in simplicity. And I don't believe that anyone has any trouble understanding this. Now, as I said, in a sense, I apologize for going into some Greek words. But I want to tell you something. I have met too many of these fellows. I know what they teach. And you've got to show that they are distorting the Word of God. And anyone that tells you that the word ace means because of, he just doesn't know what he's talking about, and he goes against every translation, and he goes against every scholar in the world. He's just trying to uphold some theology that he's been taught. Because you must be baptized in order to get into Christ. Now, I'm talking about the verbal inspiration of the Bible, and I'm talking about that every word is inspired. I looked back at some statistics. I saw in 1966, 65% of the people in America believed the Bible to be inspired. Then, according to a poll, and I'm just going on that, in 1993, which is some 27 years later, only 32% believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. A drop of 27% or 33% in 27 years. That's a big drop, isn't it? Someone says, well, how about today? How many believe in it? Well, I guarantee you it's less than what this says. Then we wonder why America's in trouble. We wonder why America's in trouble when that many people do not even believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. They started out back there in 66 with 65%. I don't know what it's down to now, but it's below 32%. Then we cry around and wonder what's wrong with America. They don't even believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe what Paul said. I believe it is God-breathed. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. And I don't believe anyone can destroy the Bible because too many people have tried and failed. Tom Paine, who was an atheist, wrote a book, Age of Reason. This Age of Reason. And he prophesied that his book would take the place of the Bible. But it didn't work. The Bible is still the world's bestseller, and you can't hardly find a copy of this Age of Reason. You might find it in a used bookstore somewhere, his book. So Tom Paine didn't know what he's talking about. You cannot destroy the Bible. Many Goliath of infidelity have tried it, but it still stands as the inspired Word of God. And I hope you believe it, and I hope you want to obey it. Now I'm going to close my lesson with this. In order to be saved, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, because you believe in or on Christ. Repentance is unto life. Not into life, but unto life. Paul says, repentance is unto life, you see. And confession is made unto salvation. But baptism puts you into Christ. Not that it's more important than the other steps, but it's the finality. It is that step that actually puts you from the outside to the inside. None of these other things do that. They'll bring you unto Christ, but they do not put you into Him. And I hope that if you're here today, that you'll be willing to believe and repent and confess and then be buried with your Lord in baptism. Because as I gave you the scriptures here on the chart, it'll put you into Christ. And we hope you'll do that. We'd be glad to assist you. So if you're here in subject, we invite you to come as together we stand with Gene and sing our invitation song.